Let us pray. For the memory of the blessings which we have received from Thee through Thy servants, for a sense of Thy presence in our midst, for access to the minds of able teachers and to many books, for a vision of a task to be done in a troubled world, we thank and praise Thee, O God. May the thoughts of our minds, the meditations of our hearts, and all of our deeds this day be acceptable in Thy sight through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We are happy to announce that Dr. Norman Porteous a devout man, an effective teacher, a very able scholar from the University of Edinburgh, will speak in chapel tomorrow and Thursday. In these moments, I want to call attention to the subject, readiness for ministry. For 18 months, a task force in theological education in the United States has worked on a project entitled Readiness for Ministry. They have explored the question, when is a student ready to begin ministry? They have now broadened the scope of their inquiry to extend back into pre-seminary education and to project forward into mature years of ministry with the same question. What is readiness for ministry? I must confess that I think there was a little surprise in the group when I suggested that one of the places to look for light on this question is the message of Paul. He had a sense of readiness for ministry. He wrote a number of times the statement, I am ready. And there are translators who say this can be translated, not only I am ready, but also all necessary arrangements have been made and I am eager. I should like to mention two of at least four occasions on which Paul stated for what he was ready. The first of these is in the first chapter of Romans. I am debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you also that are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. When Paul wrote that he was ready to preach the gospel, he knew what those words meant. He understood how difficult it was, indeed how dangerous it was, to preach the gospel of Christ in the cultural contexts in which he was at work. He had been preaching for years. He had identified himself as a person set apart, called, and sent forth in order to preach, to announce to people what God did in Christ to deliver and to save the world. Barncombe, in his book on Paul, has pointed out that it is important for us to recover Paul's understanding of the apostolic service of preaching. He writes, it is God Himself who speaks and acts through His ambassadors. In this apostolic service, we are to think of ourselves not more highly than we ought to think, but as fellow workers for God. And Boehringer adds this sentence: Paul was convinced that he presented men with Christ crucified, both in the gospel he preached and in his own life. He was ready to preach the gospel. We have a reference to another occasion on which Paul said that he was ready. There is a record of this in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Behold, this is the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you, for I seek not yours, but you. And I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. He was ready to participate in the growth of interpersonal competence in a young church. A young church with many pressures and conflicts. A community in which he had been subjected to very severe criticism. He was ready to continue a ministry with a love for persons that ask nothing in return, and with a determination, as he said, not to do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. What were the sources of Paul's sense of readiness for ministry? You and I know the answers. Hebrew ancestry, Greek culture, Roman citizenship, but vastly more than these. He had Christian insight. He had Christian character. He had a Christian calling. I think we might identify three sources of his sense of readiness for ministry. Number one, a vision, a perception of reality in which he saw a man of Macedonia and heard him cry, "Come over and help us." And he had the insight and the courage to go to Europe with the gospel of Jesus Christ. A vision of a person who needed help introduced the gospel to Europe. As a young man in a pastorate, I received a telephone call from a very sensitive and sincere social worker who inquired, "Do you know a family in your community with whom we might place a child for adoption?" I said, "Yes." I do. I know the home of a young professor and his wife who are eager for a child. She said a mother died in childbirth last night without aid of a physician. This was within 12 miles of two medical schools. And when I went to that home, I discovered that she had died in childbirth not only without aid of a physician, but also without pastoral care. And I went to see the tough-minded dean of a medical school of another tradition in religion. But we had a conference for 3 hours. In which I raised the question, do you think I should study medicine? He said, if you know how to preach the gospel, and if you will preach it, you will do more for the medical profession than you will by studying medicine, although you have the qualifications for admission. And he had the grace to add, we all need to learn more about the value of human life that came to light in the man of Galilee. The vision of a home broken as that home was broken did something for me that I have never forgotten. Paul had a vision of people in distress. In a certain place, he had a relation to the living Lord which enabled him to say, I can do all things in him that strengthens me. For my own part, I have never been able, or I have not risen to this height. I have always had a sense of inadequacy in the ministry. But even though some of us live and work with a sense of inadequacy, we know something of what Paul meant when he said, I can do all things through Christ, through him who strengthens me. Because upon reflection, you and I know that insofar as we have really entered into the ministry, there has come a renewal of strength beyond anything that we might have expected from our heredity or from our environment. There has come an inflow of insight that helped us wrestle with very complex problems. There has come a daily renewal of energy that has helped us to bear burdens of the oppressed. There has come a renewal of courage and good hope to go on with a task worth doing in our generation. And in the third place, Paul received a sense of readiness for ministry through a personal commitment in response to a call that prepared him to say that he was ready not only to be imprisoned, but also to die for a cause. Now, I've already confessed in your presence that I have never risen to the height of being able to say I can do all things in him that strengthens me. Personal inadequacy has held me back from that achievement. But I have been able to say, on more than one occasion, two of them were in the courthouse, that I am ready to be imprisoned. And that I have been ready to die for a cause. We are hearing some things from prisoners of war that have some relation to this sense of readiness for ministry. A man named Tanner in Tennessee last week referred, I thought in fine spirit, to more than 4 years of confinement in a prison. We would not identify that prison as a very favorable structure for Christian witness and work. But he and some of his fellow prisoners had worked out a code so that there could be at least a small amount of communication from cell to cell. And for more than a month, every night before he went to sleep, he said he tapped lightly on the wall. He was in a solitary cell. Tapped lightly on the wall, three letters, G-B-Y. And the man in the next cell knew that the letters G-B-Y meant God bless you. Night after night, he tapped these letters lightly on the wall. And after weeks had gone by, one night, to his great delight, he heard the message returned, and the man in the next cell tapped out the words, the letters, which meant, God bless you. Now, we need that kind of communication in our world. It is that kind of insight that will change structures. It is that kind of insight that will change persons. It is that kind of message that will make us ready to live as children of God. Let us pray. Our Father, help us to understand what thou hast done for us in Jesus Christ, and what thou art doing through thy people in the world. today and to take our places humbly and gratefully with those who love and serve Thee.